ones you love this holiday season.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
For our final home stretch of the show, four more segments with Lauren Coleman. He, of course, is proprietor and chief cook and bottle washer and the floor sweeper, right, of the International Cryptozoology Museum.
Well, we use a vacuum cleaner, but yes.
Okay. He's the floor vacuum cleanerer with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. So is that the end of that particular question? Do we need to move to the next
one? No, I think
there
was a part two. What was the part
two? Yeah, there was a part two about the DNA evidence.
So Chris, just briefly summarize part two of the question. Let's have the answer.
In other words, in cases of Bigfoot DNA evidence or potential DNA evidence, when the evidence returns from testing as, quote, unknown primate, unquote, have any researchers correlated the DNA profiles of these unknowns? And if a DNA database could be created, wouldn't that be sufficient to establish a species profile in the scientific community?
Yes, no. What has occurred is that some scientists are correlating the DNA sampling that's going on and trying to show that there's some overlap. One of the problems there, of course, is we do not have a genome for a Sasquatch. So just because you get part B here and part G there and try to say that they belonged to the same animal, you're going to get different parts of the picture. And so then, you know, you're trying to correlate that, but it still would not be enough evidence because you don't have the type specimen to compare it to. So it's always going to come back a little short.
Right.
I mean, after all, the human genome is the first one that we've really cataloged, and we don't even have the genome of a lot of other animals yet.
Yeah. Well, here's another one. Now, you mentioned the copycat effect. This comes from our listener and poster, Thaptos. Could the copycat effect be applied to cryptids and other paranormal sightings for that matter? And he's putting the word paranormal in there. But does your research lead you to believe that reports of cryptid sightings occur in clusters?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually, in my book, The Copycat Effect, I start out in the beginning by talking about the waves of alligator reports where alligators were fatally attacking people and the summer of the shark attacks. Those kinds of things happen all the time, but when the media gets interested and starts publicizing things, then it actually creates artificial clusters and waves, and I've actually documented that in certain Bigfoot sightings, large snake sightings, other things where the media becomes interested and it becomes an artificial bump in the reports that have no factual connection to reality. There doesn't mean
the same
that there's
more Bigfoot. Cases. I found the exact same thing.
Yeah, okay. It does happen.
Well, what about high strangeness cases? This one comes from JT. Of course, great Freudian showman John Keel tied Bigfoot with the paranormal. So does Stan Gordon and many others. We hear so many stories of glowing red eyes. How do you as a scientist reconcile such cases, especially when they come from reliable sources? And let me just dovetail into the Stan Gordon part of this question. He does have a very interesting case that featured a Bigfoot in conjunction with a UFO landed on a farm. Are you familiar with that case?
Yeah, which the Bigfoot supposedly had a glowing ball in its hands, and it moved along a fence. Well, a lot of the Stan Gordon cases, as in my book about Bigfoot, I actually do a whole chapter on the high strangeness, and I look at that, and it all came out of a certain time, a little bit post-hippie, 1970s. All of the paperbacks were coming out, high strangeness cases. John Keel, who called himself not a ufologist, but a demonologist. He was a demonologist, and he felt that there was this overlap. It also sold books, and he was very honest about that. But I find that once you start looking at those high strangeness cases, they start falling apart, and they're a real reflection of the culture in which those stories came about. You know, there's even one report from a certain woman in Nevada who says that there was a Bigfoot that was climbing a ladder up into a UFO. I mean, you know, you can always find high strangeness cases, but it doesn't, once again, they're just stories. They're stories. And if we look a little bit deeper, it doesn't seem to be a really good testimony that leads us any places. It might be a great story, but where does it lead us? Certainly right. Not towards any evidence, not towards any facts.
Okay, well, Snide Newby Whiplash, who is a fairly recent addition to our community, wants to know what your thoughts are on the recent Siberian expedition. And his second part of the question is, what kind of funding and logistics would it take to launch an investigation to truly unearth the mystery of Bigfoot?
Okay, well, I saw from a distance, for one thing, I was invited to go there, but the invitation was with the stipulation that I spent several thousand dollars to go, and I said, you know, I'm setting up a museum. I don't have much money. I'm not going to spend money to and go to Siberia. Jeff Meldrum reports that when he went into that the cave with the expedition, they found footprints, but unfortunately they were all footprints of only one foot, not a right foot and a left foot, but only one foot. And he said that it was intriguing to him that all of the people that were behind this expedition and finding the hair and finding the footprints were all of the tourist people from the local city who had declared, a Yeti Day and all of this. The expedition and that whole conference was baloney. It was just outright a tourist, you know, and as Jeff said, he will not be invited back because he said some rather scalding things about that whole experience. It was just a publicity event, and it really backfired for those people that looked at yeah, it was a publicity stunt.
Oh, boy. So
what was the other question?
We don't have any Tom Slicks out there, to our knowledge. I mean, what's it going to take? Is it going to take
the funding, unfortunately, and I have, looked at this deeply because I did teach a documentary film course for 20 years at the university. The funding that is coming from for cryptozoological excursions are from television and documentary companies. And how are they setting up this? They're setting it up by getting their sponsors to give them money, and then they fly somebody in for a day or two and fly them out. So you get great footage of somebody putting a trail cam around a tree, looking at it the next morning and saying, whoop, no evidence of Bigfoot. They didn't come by here last night. It's just a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a sad joke. And the real research is going on in Sumatra. Deborah Martyr, who's been funded by the Flora and Fauna International Society for 20 years, she's going to find evidence of the Rang Pindek. But it takes as long as it took to build the pyramids. You know, it's not going to happen in a weekend. The weekend warriors are not the way to go.
Well, you mentioned trail cams. JP has a question here. What do you make of the recent findings that alpha male coyotes are aware of trail cameras and avoid them? For your average skeptic, that might seem yet another excuse for not finding the big-footed beast.
No. I definitely agree. I pointed that out a long time ago, that I think that the higher abilities that some of these animals have to hear certain, outside of our range, to smell certain metals and oils that humans use. Coyotes are very smart. You know, they're a good canine, and there's no telling what kind of abilities that Bigfoot and other animals have to trail cams. Probably smell. They probably whiz. They probably make noises. And we act like we can just put them out there and every animal in the woods is going to come by them.
They're going to wave. They want to have all that screen presence because they are big egomaniacs. They want their 15 minutes of fame, and they're going to go out there and they're going to wave, hey, look at us. Look at the Earthlings. Reminds me of the crazy scene from Independence Day, where, of course, Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith stand up in the spaceship so the alien can see us. Look at the Earthlings! Look at that. Look at this. We're talking to Lauren Coleman. The place is called the International Cryptozoological Museum. You're with Gene and Chris because you're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hey everybody, Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene, with Chris, and Lauren Coleman on the Paracast, answering your questions. And we're talking about whether these creatures want 15 minutes of fame, and they just want to be left alone.
And you know what happens to most of the trail cams? They're stolen by other humans.
So when they disappear, it's not, the creatures.
Right.
Bigfoot's working on his family photo album.
Right.
Well, some questions of Digital Trickster. And first of all, he says he's so glad that you are back on the show. He's been waiting a long time to listen to you here. Have you heard of any possible dinosaur sightings lately? We did cover this with J.C. Johnson, who was a guest here a number of weeks back. And that's part one. Part two is, what is your opinion of the Mokili Mbembe? I'm not sure how to say that sighting.
Mokili Mbembe.
Yeah,
Mbembe. Well, once
sounds
again,
sounds like something from The Lion King.
Good one.
I can hear James Earl Jones saying this.
Mokili Mbembe.
I am your father. No.
You guys, it's getting late in the show. You're falling apart there on me. But that's okay. Having fun. Mokili Mbembe, dinosaurs. Once again, the perspective. The perspective, if you're a creationist, if you think that there's dinosaurs in Africa, then every time there's a report of a large animal in Central Africa, sometimes in Central America, sometimes pterodactyls in the United States, you feel that it's evidence of dinosaurs. I tend to try to get away from the religious perspective entirely and look at what people are saying they're seeing. What they're saying they're seeing is a large animal in the jungle that may actually not be a dinosaur, but be something like an aquatic rhino. And so you know, the skeptics always use Occam's razor, and they talk about, and usually to them that means it doesn't exist. But the real concept is about, you look at the most logical, mundane explanation. You don't go to dinosaurs being the final solution. You look at maybe there's some other kind of mammal that's only been around and easier to explain as a possibility. And I think that there's probably an aquatic race of forest rhinos that hasn't been caught yet, and that's what Mokili Mbembe and a lot of these creatures may turn out to be.
How about the river dinos around Lake Powell, the San Juan River, that area of southern Utah, where over the years there's been quite a number of fairly celebrated reports of people seeing small 3 to 4 foot tall bipedal dinosaurs running around, even in packs. Have you done any sort of research into that whole thing?
Yeah, I've heard about that, and it almost feels like there are little velociraptors and different things like that. Once again, it's eyewitness reports. I mean, I'm open-minded to hearing more about it. It's just, once again, it's sightings, and I mean, maybe it's some kind of birds, maybe it's some kind of reptiles that really have hung around. I'm not sure. I'd like to hear more, and I'd like to see some photographs.
Just had two reports from Canyonlands last month. Two separate witnesses came forward and talked about this. And there have been a number of these sightings over the years on the northern side of Lake Powell. They're also called, they call them the river dinos, too, I think, in the area there. Moving along here.
Well, Lake Powell's awful interesting, too, because you have the giant beaver reports from there, too.
So, right, and also snakes, too, from the San Juan Basin area. J.C. Johnson kind of titillated our audience with a couple of, one case where he and one of his river guides actually experienced a huge coil of a snake came up, and they estimated it was 18 inches in diameter, which is kind of hard to believe in that cold water. But, well, we've got some other...
interesting area, that's for sure. And I really
look forward to more
researchers bringing stuff out of there.
Yeah, it's a real interesting remote area of the country that it's not that well explored. There's lots of areas that are 20, 30 miles from the nearest Jeep trail even. Here's one. What cryptids do you believe have the best chance of being found? It sounds like you've kind of answered that. You think possibly Bigfoot would be our most likely candidate for the best chance of being found?
No, actually, I think one of the best bets is the Rang Pendek, which is this little 3.5-foot, 4-foot tall creature in Sumatra, Indonesia. I actually think that Bigfoot's going to take a little bit longer, maybe another 40 years. But I think Orang Pendek, that will be the big surprise. I think they've already seen it. They found footprints. It's in a concentrated little area. They're going to get closer and closer and actually find physical evidence of this. I know that there's a lot of mutterings about DNA with Bigfoot, but I'm not sure that that's really going to come to any future excitement the way we're going to get more discoveries out of Asia that are going to really blow people away.
Well, his second part of his question is, which cryptid do you wish would prove to be real but will probably never be found or have significant evidence to prove its existence? Which one do you
That's a question like, how many times a day do I beat my wife? what kind of creature will never be found but I'm really interested in? No, I'm not going to.
You're not going to go there, huh?
No, I always have. It's all about accepting or denying the evidence. So I keep looking at the evidence, and some of it I deny, some of it doesn't work out, but some of it is always a kernel of possibilities in that. So obviously I do not spend my time looking for unicorns and fairies and different things like that, or all of those creatures that inhabit World of Warcraft. But, for the rest of it, I think there's always a possibility there could be new species out there.
Yeah, well, there's new species are discovered every month. Amazing, especially in the ocean.
Yeah.
Amazing how many creatures are still. And in the Amazon basin, I'm sure, there are just countless species.
And New Guinea and Indonesia. That's what cryptozoology is. We're out here to find new species, not to prove Bigfoot or to prove the Yeti or Loch Ness Monster exists. It's really about new species, and people get it confused. They think we're only interested in Bigfoot. But it's amazing when they come into this museum and see all of the, animals that have been discovered that used to be unknown cryptids. The polar bear, the Komodo dragon, the megamouth shark, the coelacanth, all of these creatures that are new and exciting and quite large.
Okay, here's one from Owlman. Lauren, have you ever had a rock thrown at you by Sasquatch?
No. I haven't even had a rock thrown at me by a human. So,
well, you know what? I guess we can get volunteers. I wouldn't do it. I like you. But, there are crazy people out there.
No, they want to throw rocks at us, actually. I take that back because I remember when I was a kid, I came home once with a bloody head, and my father said, "What's that from?" And I said, "Oh, we were just... some kids and I were throwing rocks back and forth." It did happen when I was little, but I've never been out. I've heard Bigfoot screeches. I've found footprints. I've never seen a Bigfoot. I've never seen, a Loch Ness Monster or any of these creatures. And so, no, I've not been thrown at by Bigfoot.
So you're like good old Stanton Friedman, who's never seen a UFO, but boy, he's out there making sure everybody knows they're real.
By the way, we have Lauren Coleman. We know he's real. Gene and Chris, yeah. I don't know, because you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning, right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for Aromatic Liquid extracted from a broad range of flowers, stems, seeds, and bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844.
That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Are we real? Are we Memorex? With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, and we're having a great time answering your questions. We're at least letting Lauren Coleman doing the heavy lifting. We just sit back and listen. When you get people like Lauren, who's been there, done that two or three times, you know, that's where you go.
Yeah, I remember when I was helping Sony Screen Gems with Mothman Prophecies, I actually did 400 radio interviews in 3 months. That was heavy lifting.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were like a movie star. Did you do more interviews than John Keel?
Well, John Keel was sick. And so John Keel did a couple of visuals, you know, documentaries, but they said, Lorne Coleman, could you come on board and be our publicity guy and tell everybody that the Mothman movie is based on reality? And I said, okay, let's do this. Let's make this deal. And we did it, and I wrote a book and made appearances and did a news conference in Hollywood. And they flew my boys out, too, and we got to see the X-Men being filmed and different things like that. It was quite a trip. It was, you know, those were the days when actually before the Depression happened.
Right. Well, you mentioned Mothman. Where do you come down on Mothman?
Mothman, I think it's a large unknown owl. I think that John Keel made it into much more. Demonology came into being. I interviewed Linda Scarberry, for instance, and she was very specific. This is a woman who was one of the first eyewitnesses. After that, she said John Keel came into her house, and she said when John Keel left, he had her so scared, she put a cross on every wall in her house. And she went...
to keep him out from coming back, or...
Yeah, to keep the Mothman. And
well, you know, with John Keel, I felt that way about John Keel sometimes.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Well, he was the scary, crusty man with a sense of humor. But, So... You know, Linda Scarberry, she recently died at a relatively young age, and she went in and out of mental hospitals for most of her life. Before John Keel came into that situation, he went down there to look into stories of winged cats, you know, a Fortean phenomenon. There were reports of farm cats that have wings on them, and he fell into the Mothman story, and he put it together in his books with the psychics that were showing up in Mystic Mountain around New York, and he mixed them all together, and it became a semi-fictionalized story that had men in black, UFOs, all kinds of things. But John knew very early on, and he would tell me this. He said, you know, I knew it was just a big bird, some kind of big unknown bird, and Ivan Sanderson and I were talking all the time on the phone about what it could be. And I talked to those eyewitnesses myself, the original eyewitnesses, every one of them in 1966 described a large owl-like creature, no hand, no legs, no arms, no head. All of that came later, you know, 20 years later after the documentary film companies kept coming through there. I helped Sony Screen Gems actually edit out one woman that they had on tape who was saying, oh, yeah, when I saw it, it had a big forked tail like the devil. And I said, you got to take her out of there. She's insane. Nobody ever said they saw anything like that. And what happened, of course, is that we know that a copy editor in an Ohio newspaper did not like the name Big Bird, which was what was coming about. And he said, oh, I've got a better name for the headlines. He was a fan of the Batman series on TV, so he came up with the name Mothman. None of the eyewitnesses ever saw anything like a moth or a man. It was always Big Bird, Big Bird, Big Bird. And along came Mothman in the Ohio newspaper, and it caught on. The media madness began, and everybody started calling it Mothman. And so if you go to Point Pleasant, you see the statue there. It's of a big insect in their town square. Absolutely looks nothing like what the eyewitnesses said the creature looked like. They said it looked like a big bird with feathers on it, in which the eyes were in the chest. And just to get back to one of your earlier questions, nobody ever said it had glowing eyes. All of the eyewitnesses said they were in their cars, the light would catch this bird, and it would reflect back just like those round reflectors that you put at the end of your driveway, and that's the way they described it. Years later, people would say these were glowing red eyes and all of that stuff. Not at all factual.
Yeah, kind of wonder in retrospect if that might have happened with Roswell, that when the memories came back, what, 30 years after the original event, suddenly more things happened that may have originally occurred?
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. I'm not studied as deeply as I am about Roswell with the Mothman, but certainly I have actually practiced psychiatric social work, and I know recovered memories can be very elaborate. There's a kernel of truth there. We all know that, and we also should not disregard abuse victims and trauma victims and all of that. But if you look at the Roswell situation, the Mothman situation, the Flatwoods Monster, all of those were traumatic events that people would remember in different ways based upon their own experience, and it would get more and more elaborate. And what happened with Linda Scarberry, already a very kind of delicate personality, let's say that. Delicate personality, a camera crew comes in, she starts changing her story to fit their questions. Yes, it had legs. Yes, it had arms. Yes, it had glowing eyes. She never talked about that in the original time when she was talking and being interviewed. It all came out later. She talked about no legs. She drew pictures back then that shows the Mothman the way that we know it was, which was like a giant owl with eyes in its chest. But if you look in that owl, the eyes will look like if it's in its chest, because the way the ears go up, they look like they're part of the shoulders. But a gigantic owl, over and over again, 6 feet tall, this bird was described as. By people, you know, police officers, housewives, mechanics, truck drivers, all kinds of people that were really describing something that was huge.
Yeah, but that's three times larger than the largest known owl species. I mean, what could that have been? Are we talking about some 40-inch thing? Paranormal?
There are large owls. There's owls in the fossil record that are 4 feet tall, and they were found in Cuba. And certainly, you know, a lot of the Thunderbird stories are the same ball of wax. I mean, just because we don't have them in museums or zoos, We do have them in the museums. They're called teratorns. We have them in the La Brea Tar Pits. They're gigantic condor-like birds that lived in North America as recently as 6,000 years ago. And people who think that some of these are still surviving in the mountains of the West or Appalachia, you know, we don't know if Mothman's a thunderbird or a giant owl, but it's a lot of overlap in that same area there that with these giant bird-like creatures. They could very well be real.
Yeah, so you bring up thunderbirds. I found in my research it's the only common sort of fantastic crypto creature that's found in all North American regional Native American myths and legends. Where do you come down on thunderbirds? Are you familiar with any reports or any physical evidence? I've seen on the internet that giant feather that's been featured in a couple of recent articles. What kind of information do we have on the thunderbird?
Well, I was a primary researcher on the 1948 Alton, Illinois, St. Louis reports, and my brother Jerry Coleman and myself were the first researchers there to interview the Lawndale eyewitnesses where the boy was picked up in 1977
right.
in Illinois. I think all of those are credible sightings, and along with Mark Hall, who wrote the book Thunderbirds, you have a migration pattern in the West, the Midwest, and in the East that where these birds are in April, they're going north.
I'll tell you what, we're going to find out where the thunderbirds are going in other seasons with Lauren Coleman and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
The world's best solar-powered oven has gotten better. Sun ovens are now available with a brand new Christmas sun dehydrating and preparedness kit, which includes everything required for cooking, water pasteurization, and dehydrating with the power of the sun. Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. A sun oven lets you harness the sun's power to bake, boil, or steam food, heat water for purification or personal hygiene, or dehydrate. For the past 25 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S., are durable, and have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a limited time, preppers can save $65 on the purchase of a Christmas sun dehydrating and preparedness kit. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/GCN. That's sunoven.com/GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
So with Gene and Chris, we're talking to Lauren Coleman, and we're talking about the migration habits of thunderbirds. Is that it?
That's it. They seem to really migrate in a bird-like manner, going north in the Ozarks up to the Minnesota and Canadian area in April and coming south in the fall. And you can see this in the west. You can see it in the Ozarks. You can see it in the Appalachians. So I'm not surprised that various native Canadians and Native Americans and Inuits and Eskimos have tales of giant birds, because they're one of the few creatures that can move around. You can have a very small population and a great many people can see them because they can actually fly around. I mean, you'd have hardly any whooping cranes in this country, yet people see them in all different parts of the country, you know, from Canada to Texas. It's a small little group, but they're easy to see.
What about the more dinosauria-type sightings, like from West Texas and I think the Great Bend?
I know you'll think it's a broken record, but once again, I come down on the side of the mammals versus the reptiles here. The reports that I've investigated from along the Rio Grande, they often talk about leathery skin and, you know, then they quickly go to pterodactyls. This has got to be a pterodactyl. Well, as I've pointed out many times, there's bats. There's giant bats. There's fruit bats. There's all kinds of unknown bats that are being reported that when you look at them from a distance, they look like a pterodactyl. You know, people don't notice their head. They notice the wings. They notice the sharp angles. I also investigated reports of pterodactyls in the Yucatan, Mexico, and those turned out to be albatross at a very high altitude. Misidentification, as well as a possible misidentification in a roundabout way of another cryptid. I think there are giant cryptid bats that are being mistaken for pterodactyls.
That's interesting. I've never heard that theory before, but it makes sense. Plus, you know, it's difficult to judge size versus distance when you're looking up into the sky. Oftentimes something that's fairly close to you can seem and appear to be further away, and of course that would then lend the size larger in the eyes of a witness who's startled and has seen something they're not expecting to see. So that would make sense to me. Good point that you bring up.
Yeah. Well, you guys coming up to Maine to the International Cryptozoology Museum soon?
I would love to. I'm real excited about it. I don't make it up to New England as often as I'd like. I did live in the Boston area in Cambridge for a couple of years, and it'd be fun to get up there. And and get to Portland and finally get a chance to meet you. We've actually never met, and I'd really welcome that opportunity, and it would be a lot of fun for me to go through your museum and pick your brain a little bit. This has really been quite fun for me, and it's really a pleasure having you on the show, Lauren.
I'll tell you what, before we go, are there any more questions?
I think we've pretty much done them all. There are some, but it would just be going over old ground.
Okay, so we know where you are and what you're doing, Lauren, but in terms of actually doing the kind of research that needs to be done, what are your feelings?
The kind of research that needs to be done, let's take Bigfoot, for instance. We need to put a woman in the woods for 6 months. It needs to be funded. You need to have her in a safe place, maybe with two or three other women. And that's the way, that's how Bigfoot is going to come to a woman. Men put off pheromones that scare them away. We need to fund a woman out in the woods.
So basically, men are threats to Bigfoot.
It's either a pheromone or something that men do that really we're not getting Bigfoot coming to any of those sites where they're planting themselves. We're finding...
So they can't cover it up. Men can't basically wear cologne or something. Or wear Chanel No. 5 or something like their wives
do.
No,
you don't want women wearing perfume in the woods. But the Jane Goodalls and the Diane Fossey, models are there for Bigfoot, too. People just need to follow them.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. We've also, of course, had reports of Bigfoot being attracted to women on their menstrual cycle.
True, but in my book, The Bigfoot, The True Story of Apes in America, I overthrow the myth that Bigfoot are out there kidnapping Native women. Bigfoot actually hijacks and kidnaps men more often than women. And I think they're bringing back for breeding because they know the gene pool is short, so they're always introduced to a young female Bigfoot.
Boy, that would be a heck of a date to have to deal with. Oof.
It would. You know, you couldn't overcome that experience. I mean,
I don't want to. You're not my type.
That's a date I don't want to have.
She doesn't have enough freckles for me or something.
Now, seriously speaking here, when Bigfoot brings someone in there, they kidnap somebody, they ever come back?
Yeah, that's how we've heard about the ones that I write about, Albert Osman. Yeah, and you know, there's some of them where they talk about them being, not the Osman one, but a more recent one where the guy had on a long red underwear, and he said the Bigfoot kept pulling at the underwear like it was another skin. Or they pick them up in sleeping bags, or they pick them up in a big fur coat. It's almost as if the Bigfoot are getting confused and think this outer covering is some kind of covering of another kind of Bigfoot. And I think that's what's happening. They're trying to kidnap these men for breeding purposes, and they don't know that they're men. They think they're another form of Bigfoot.
So they're not very smart.
No, I don't think so, no. I don't think they're smart at all. I think Neanderthal are smarter. Neanderthal had culture, they had fire, they had all kinds of things going on for them, and now they've even got commercials. But, Bigfoot just has the beef jerky commercials. So.
Well, of course, obviously Neanderthals have the Geico commercials. They try to do a TV show, based on the caveman concept.
Yeah,
it went nowhere. It lasted like four episodes.
It went south, right? Yeah.
Actually, it went to, I think, north somewhere. North to Alaska.
All right.
But, no, this
is... good talking to you guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. In the remaining 2 or 3 minutes we have left, it's your time, Lauren Coleman. Give us your best pitch to have people go to visit the International Cryptozoology Museum. You're on.
Actually, I think that all communities needed to be supported for their cryptozoological Mothman, Lake Monster, and Bigfoot museums. There's no reason that people in California shouldn't be going to the Bigfoot Discovery Museum. There's no reason that people visiting West Virginia shouldn't go to the Mothman Museum. If you find yourself in the little corner of the country we call New England or Red Sox Nation, come up to Portland, Maine, and go to the top 10, one of the top 10 weirdest museums in the world. We're on all the lists, and the Cryptozoology Museum is like something you will have never seen before. It's the only cryptozoology museum in the world. Come and visit. You guys come for free.
Okay, but the others, you have to pay $7 for adults, $5 for kids. It's not like, you know, going to Disney World where they want $400 for everything.
Right. No, it's very inexpensive, and, you know, you stay as long as you want. You take as many pictures as you want, and you ask me as many questions as you have time for.
And that's an interesting point here, too. Do you sell souvenirs or something?
We have a local artist that makes little Bigfoot items, and I have some of my books that I autograph for people, and we have T-shirts, of course.
What else can you ask for? Chris O'Brien, tell our listeners where they can find more of the things that you do.
Well, I have a website, OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet, and it's Our Strange Planet. Plus, I'm a moderator at forum.theparacast.com. Come join in the fun. We have a bunch of really up-to-speed folks that post there. And again, Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show, taking time out to speak with us. You're very popular at the Paracast, and we're going to have a nice discussion on the forums after the show airs.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm quite humbled to be here because I know you guys are quite famous in the world of Paracast, so it's great to be here. I should mention that if people want to find out when we're open, go to cryptozoologymuseum.com, and that's our website that our nice docents have put up, and you get all your information there on the museum. Thank you, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.